This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Gods Above and Below by Lauren K. Jones, narrated by Anthony Ferguson. Prelude. Rayon the Glimmer, capital of the Kingdom of Renadia, was a city living in fear. Someone was killing innocents. Children. Young adults, the weak of mind. Anyone who had never intentionally committed an evil act was in danger. The streets that had once been brightly lit were now dark. The markets and docks that had once been busy all day and night were deserted. No one ventured out at night anymore. Not even the thieves dared the darkness in these uncertain times. But the city's caution was in vain. No one was safe. Not even in their own beds. Carandin awoke with a shriek of terror. Her mind screamed, "This isn't my room!" as she looked around in desperation. This place was dark and dank and smelled of blood, fear, and dung. She scrambled to her feet and wedged herself into a corner as her eyes desperately searched the shadows.
Who's there?"
she asked in a trembling voice.
"I am called Servalan,"
a soft feminine voice replied.
"What do you want?"
Carandin asked in a little girl's tiny voice. There was a laugh from the darkness in reply to her question that set her neck hairs on end.
"I have what I want,"
the voice answered in a silky purr.
"I have you. I'm no use to you,"
Carandin whined.
"I'm not a virgin."
Now the voice laughed loudly, sending a shiver of fear down Carandin's spine.
"The value of virginity in human sacrifices is so terribly overstated. It's the purity of the soul, not the body, that is important."
Now a shadow moved and a woman came into view. She was tall and elegantly dressed in the latest chosen society fashions. She was well proportioned, with everything in perfect symmetry. Her features were so perfect, she appeared to be a living sculpture. But her apparent perfection was marred by her eyes. They were dull, dead, black orbs, like darkened pits in her face. It was her eyes that frightened Carandin the most.
"Who are you?"
Carandin shouted as terror gripped her heart.
"I, little one,"
the woman asked in a silky purr, as a vulpine smile curved her lips. Her head tilted to the side as she bent her surprisingly long neck forward.
"I am something your short-lived species has forgotten to fear. But no matter. I'll remind you."
Her expression changed, and the only sound after that was Carradine's screams. Chapter 1. The morning sunlight slanted through the inn window, falling on Prince Davin's leg as it illuminated the common room.
"Going to be another hot day,"
he commented. Karvik grunted his agreement around a mouthful of sausage. When courtesy allowed, he replied, "Been too hot for too long." A soft sound drew their attention to the servant who was waiting patiently by the wall.
"Yes?"
Davin asked. His expression was open and friendly, as it usually was, so the girl stepped forward and bowed.
"Your pardon, Prince Stephen, but the spring has barely begun. Come high summer, we'll be longing for days like this."
Stephen sighed and shook his head slowly as he turned back toward Karvik.
"It's going to be a long, hot summer."
All around them, the other 32 members of Stephen's royal guard were similarly dismayed. Lieutenant Varric Kelhorval, the youngest of the group as well as being Stavin's brother-in-law, dared to grin at his prince.
"At least we're not on the coast, Prince Stephen. Can you imagine this heat and that humidity?"
Stephen and Karvik exchanged a sour glance before Stephen replied,
"Yes, I can. You have egg on your chin, Var."
Varric's cheeks and ears reddened in embarrassment as he grabbed a napkin to tend to himself while his table-mates chuckled at his expense. Stephen said,
It shouldn't take us more than another moon to reach Re.
As he turned back toward Karvik,
we've gone as far south as we have to. I think we'll skip the detour to Zell Castle.
Karvik nodded his agreement. That will save us some time, as well as getting us back up into the mountains where it's cooler.
There was little other conversation as the group finished their morning meal. When the entire group was finished, Stavin led the way out of the inn. Their horses were already saddled and waiting, so they mounted and rode away at a trot.
So, Steve, exactly what was the point of telling that girl where we're going?
Karvik asked, as soon as they were out of town.
Because she was being paid to listen to our plans, Car,
Stavin replied.
Let her earn some extra silver. I have no intention of missing the museum at Zell Castle.
Karvik shook his head slowly. You know, Steve, you're getting paranoid. Not every attentive servant is a spy. I think she was just hoping for a crown or two, and maybe a royal romp in bed.
Stavin silently glared at his best friend for a moment, then sighed.
You may be right, Car, but I'd rather be careful.
You'd rather be sneaky, even if there's no need,
Karvik quipped with a grin.
Life in the palace is too tame for you.
Stavin's expression once again turned rueful.
Maybe so,
he admitted. The expedition continued southwest across the kingdom of Luxandia and into the kingdom of Renadia. Stavin, in his capacity as Evandia's minister of trade, was reaffirming the treaties that tied Evandia to the kingdoms of Caravia, Luxandia, Renadia, and Daria, and the city-states of Cavadia. He was also seeing the world he only knew from books, as only a prince or trader could. Travelling long distance was too expensive for almost anyone else. The trip had begun early in the spring, and was going to take a full year. King Kaelin had suggested it both as a trade mission, and as a way for the rest of the royal families to meet the famous Stavin Dragonblessed. Stavin had to admit that he would want to meet someone who had inspired as many songs, stories, and outrageous lies as he had. He'd accomplished his primary mission in Caravia, as well as renewing his friendship and family ties with King Teravan and Princess Elisan, and in Luxandia as well. The ministers of trade of both kingdoms were very anxious to ensure their traders' guilds were obeying the letter and spirit of the agreements between their kingdoms. His secondary mission was personal. He was expanding House Kel'Aniston into the other kingdoms. Soon his would be the largest trading house in the lands that had once been the Empire of Luxand. The trip to Zell Castle was a family mission. The Royal Renadian Museum there was supposed to house more than 100 dragon artifacts made by Dandar Shandrake during the 2,700 years he had guided the people of Luxand to greatness. Stavin was, if allowed, going to prove or disprove their authenticity. It took another 27 days to reach the southern Renadian port city of Zell Castle. It was old, dating to just before the fall of the Empire. Now, after more than 500 years, nearly 300,000 souls called it home. Karvik looked out over the city from the hill they had just topped and murmured, "Impressive." Stavin was the only one close enough to hear him, and murmured back,
"Yup,"
just as softly. Behind them, the assorted royal guardsmen, warrior and chosen alike, spoke in hushed tones as they discussed the wonder before them. Zell Castle, unlike most modern cities, had grown out, not up. Open spaces could be seen throughout the city, as if every building had its own park. It was quite a change from the crowded cheek-and-jowl existence in most cities. The road they were travelling on widened and the surface changed from packed dirt to some material that only the imperial architects had known how to make. The road was wide enough that 3 wagons could have driven down it side by side. An elaborate arch spanned the road, and a brace of guardsmen stepped out to meet them.
"Welcome, travellers," the apparent leader of the guards said as he bowed. "Are you from Evandia?"
Karvik answered, "Yes, we are escorting Prince Stephen Dragonblessed to your fine city and museum."
All the city guardsmen came to attention, and then went to one knee. Only the leader kept his head up as he said, "Welcome to Zell Castle, Prince Stephen. The Royal Oak Inn is 10 Dragon Street ahead." Stephen said, "Thank you, guardsmen," as he passed. The guard and his subordinate stood as soon as Stephen was past them, and stayed at attention as the rest of the party filed by. The Royal Oak turned out to be a very large inn, though it had followed the example of the rest of the city and remained low, just a long single story that spread more than a dragon across the front. A welcoming committee was assembled on the porch, and an elegantly dressed woman stepped forward as soon as Stephen stopped. She bowed deeply and said, "Prince Stephen, I am Sylvana Zell Tessel, Lord Mayor of Zell Castle." She paused and again bowed deeply to acknowledge Stephen's bowed head, before continuing.
"We are pleased to welcome you to our fine city. With me are the members of our city council and the masters of our craft guilds, as well as the full council of our traders' guild. Also, in honour of your scholarly achievements, the curator of the Royal Renedian Museum and the headmaster of Zell Castle's campus of the Royal Renedian Academy have joined us."
Each of the people on the porch had bowed deeply when they were introduced, and Stephen had nodded to each of them. Stephen smiled as he said,
"I am pleased to meet all of you. While I am here, I plan to meet with your council, and with the Traders Guild, as well as the Craft Guilds. I will also be visiting your museum. Your collection of dragon-made artifacts is legendary."
He paused to chuckle.
"King Keelan visited when he was a child, and can describe most of the artifacts from memory."
An elderly woman stepped forward and bowed deeply.
"I was but an apprentice scribe when your father and his parents visited, Prince Stephen. I am Corian Feldansel, master scribe and curator of the museum."
She smiled and chuckled at Stephen.
"Your good father had to be retrieved from several of the exhibits."
Stephen smiled in return, as his guardsman chuckled.
"So he told me. I promise to be better behaved."
A new man had joined the greeting party, and stepped forward to bow deeply.
"Prince Stephen, your suite is ready if you'd care to send in your servants."
Stephen shook his head and replied, "No servants this trip. Just show us the stables, and we'll come in once the horses are seen to."
He ignored the shocked expressions on the greeting party's faces, and the chuckles of his guardsmen, as he followed the innkeeper around the building. Karvik was right beside his prince and said,
"I don't care what you say, Steve. That never gets old."
Stephen laughed out loud as he dismounted, then, contrary to proper behaviour, saw to his own horse. The guardsman ignored the shocked look on the innkeeper's face, except for a few who chuckled at his expense. Stephen took an extra moment to give his horse some personal attention. She was a creamy tan mare, and he'd named her True after his beloved first horse. Like the original, he'd gentled and trained True himself. Princess Marina, his adopted big sister, had thrown a fit when he'd announced his intention, but King Kaelin had simply said,
"Go ahead, Stephen."
That had earned him a hard look from his daughter, but she'd held her peace afterward. Karvik was standing by the stall door when he was through.
"I sent Var and his team inside. He's arranging for us to eat before the chosen mob you."
Stephen rolled his eyes and said, "Thank you. I have a feeling it's going to be another long night."
The inn was crowded with more people than it could comfortably hold, and the faces of dozens of splendidly garbed men and women could be seen looking through the windows, straining to see the famous Stephen Dragonblessed. Stephen muttered,
"Gods below,"
as soon as he saw the crowd of people surging toward him. But Varric and his men formed a protective wall to keep even the most insistent of the Chosen at bay.
Shouts of, "Dragonblessed!" mixed with, "Prince Stephen!" as the lords and ladies tried to get his attention.
Stephen ignored them all, keeping his eyes front until he reached his table.
Then he turned toward the crowd and spoke loudly as he said, "Lords and leaders of Zell Castle, I am pleased to visit your fine city. It is not possible for me to meet with everyone, and certainly not all at once. But we have 10 days to arrange as many interviews as possible. For the moment, however, I would appreciate a little time to eat and get cleaned up. We've been on the road for 8 days since the last town, and I don't want to offend anyone."
He gave the crowd his best boyish grin, then sat down. The press of bodies against the royal guards eased, and Karvik brought 2 senior sergeants to join them at the table. Steven and Karvik had made it a point to share meals with all of their men in turn. Even Varric, the second in command of the guards, only joined them when his turn came up. An older woman stepped forward as soon as they were seated, bowed deeply, and then asked,
"What can we bring you to drink, Prince Steven?"
Steven replied,
"Beer."
Then glanced around before adding,
"For all of us."
The woman bowed again and backed away as she said,
"I will return in a moment, Prince Steven,"
as she passed the guards.
"Good servant,"
the sergeant at Steven's left commented.
"Royal Inn," the other sergeant replied. "I'll bet she's the innkeeper's wife."
Karvik spoke softly as he said, "You know the drill. As soon as she sets the glasses down, switch across. Prince Steven drinks last." Both men answered,
"Yes, sir."
The woman returned with tall crystal glasses of dark amber beer. She set her tray down, then set a glass down in front of each of them.
"Here you are, Prince Steven, our finest beer."
Steven smiled as he said,
"Thank you,"
but made no move to touch his glass. Then, as the woman watched with a puzzled expression, the guards swapped the glasses around, and all three of them sipped. But Steven still didn't touch his glass. After a moment, Karvik traded his glass for Steven's. Steven chuckled at the woman's offended expression and explained,
"My father's orders. They've done that at every stop this trip."
The woman bowed and backed away. Once she was gone, Karvik took a long drink of his beer and said,
"Go ahead, Steve."
Steven took an experimental sip and raised his eyebrows in surprise.
"Good beer."
"Very good,"
the guardsman at Steven's left replied. Karvik caught Varric's eye and waved him over.
"Var, take 3 men to the kitchen and bring our meals. Then you and your team eat as well."
Varric snapped to attention and said,
"Yes, sir,"
before turning toward the kitchen. Varric and his men returned just a few moments later with the plates. All 4 of them were grinning widely, and Varric chuckled when he set Stavin's plate down.
"I don't think I've ever seen an innkeeper that insulted before."
Steven shrugged.
"I don't know why. If we brought along our own servants, they would have done the same thing."
Steven turned his attention to Karvik.
"Any good?"
"Very,"
he replied around a bite of meat.
"It's mutton, but it's spiced very close to Mum's recipe."
Steven needed no other encouragement, and immediately took a bite from Karvik's bowl. His eyes closed with pleasure as he savored the stew.
"This is so good."
Around them, the 11 members of Varric's team were enjoying bowls of the same stew as their prince. They ate quickly, then allowed the next team to eat, keeping 19 guardsmen on watch at all times. Steven dawdled until all of his guardsmen had eaten, then stood up and nodded to the innkeeper. The man rushed over to his side, and Steven said,
"Lead us to the royal suite. I'd like to bathe before I meet with the chosen."
"Of course, Prince Steven,"
he said with a bow.
"This way, if you please."
Steven and Karvik followed the man to the royal suite, and Steven nodded his approval to the innkeeper.
"This will do nicely,"
he commented, when he saw the size of the suite.
"Which is the bathing room?"
The innkeeper bowed and indicated the door to Stavin's left.
"Through that door, Prince Steven. Shall I send Rose or Lilia to assist you?"
Steven gave the man a lopsided grin as he replied,
"I can bathe myself. Been doing it for more than a year now."
Karvik didn't hesitate to laugh at the man's expression as he bowed and left.
"You know, Steve, Shari didn't really tell me to watch you."
Stavin laughed.
"I know, and she didn't tell Var either. She didn't need to. Unbuckle my plate and I'll get yours."
Karvik and Stavin helped each other out of their armor. Then Stavin led the way into the bathing room. The tub was every bit as large as the one in his suite in Twin Bridges, and already filled with steaming hot water. Karvik tested the water and said,
"Hot enough,"
as he stripped off his underpadding and then climbed in. Stavin had stripped as well, but he brought his underpadding with him. He rinsed it out first, then put it aside to drain a bit. Stavin chuckled as he glanced at his armor.
"Dragon scale cloth is so much more convenient than wool or even cotton. Too bad it can't be duplicated."
"Maybe so, but maybe not,"
Karvik said as he looked at his friend.
"Imagine how many washerwomen it have put out of work."
Stavin nodded as he started washing himself. He and Karvik traded the favor of washing each other's backs, then got out and dressed in their armor again. Stavin had convinced Lord General Zell Cordil to issue each guardsman 2 sets of underpadding, so Karvik had a clean set as well. Once they were armored up, they left the suite feeling and smelling much better than when they entered. Varric met them at the entry to the common room.
"We kept the table occupied, Prince Stephen. Sergeant Zelfordan's team cleaned up while you did and is on watch."
"Well done, Var,"
Stavin said as he passed.
"Take your men to clean up and try to get some rest. You take the watch again after midnight,"
Karvik added.
"Yes, sir,"
Varric replied with a bow, then turned away and signaled his men to follow him. Sergeant Zelfordan stepped up to Karvik and bowed.
"My team has the watch, and your team is standing by, sir."
"Very well, Sergeant. You know the drill. Let one chosen lord or lady through at a time, unless they are together."
"Yes, sir."
The first of the chosen to approach Stavin was indeed a married couple.
"Lord Evelyn and Lady Elisa Zelfallon,"
the sergeant announced, then stepped aside. Stavin bowed his head and said,
"Welcome." "Prince Stephen,"
Lady Elisa began in a high, sharp voice,
"your guardsmen are very rude and need to be reminded of their place."
Stavin sat in silence for a moment as he considered his reply. He looked her in the eye and said,
"Sergeant Zelfordan is the second son of Lord Kavail Zelfordan, the Lord of Zelfordan in Evandia. He is also a direct descendant of Lady Meredith Ne Karin Zelfordan, more commonly known in the legends as Mary Death. His place as a royal guardsman is one he knows very well. It is between me and you. You may go."
"Now wait a moment,"
her husband objected.
"That wasn't what—"
Stavin interrupted him before he really got going.
"I have limited time, Lord Evelyn. It was announced that I would only be addressing one concern of each visitor, and I have done so. Good evening to you both."
Turning his attention to the sergeant, he nodded once. Another guardsman stepped forward and said,
"This way, Lord and Lady Zelfallon. And before you ask, my name is Kevin Zelhestel."
The next visitor was an elderly lady with thick white hair and a very wicked grin on her face when she bowed to Stephen.
"Nicely done, Prince Stephen. I am Sarana Zelaniston, Lady of Zelaniston."
Stavin had sat bolt upright as soon as Lady Sarana said her name.
"Zell Aniston, lady. I have never met anyone from the chosen clan of Aniston before."
Her smile deepened as she replied,
"No, you have, Prince Stephen ne Aniston Zell Andral. Aniston, the estate and town, lays 12 spans by carriage to the east on the high road. I invite you to come visit the land of your ancestors whenever you wish. We have all been curious about you since we first heard a song about the dragon-blessed warrior Stephen Kil'Aniston."
Stavin stood and bowed deeply to her before replying,
"Lady Zelaniston,
As soon as I have discharged my duty to Avandia, I shall visit Aniston.
She bowed in return, then smiled and turned away without another word. Karvik looked at Stavin and raised his eyebrows.
That's interesting. Good thing we're not on a tight schedule. Add a day to our itinerary.
Stavin tilted his head to the side and said,
Add two. I'd hate to have to rush.
Karvik nodded as Sergeant Zelfordan brought the next chosen lord forward. The night was, as predicted, a late one. A steady stream of chosen lords and ladies filed by, most taking just a few moments, but there always seemed to be another waiting. When the midnight bell rang, Stavin stood and addressed the crowd.
"Lords and ladies of Zell Castle, I thank you for your greeting, but the hour grows late. I wish you all a pleasant night."
With that he left the room, followed by shouts and groans of disappointment. Karvik was, as always, at his side.
"Middle of the night and the room is still full. I guess none of them have to get up in the morning."
"Probably not," Stavin agreed. "But we do."
A huge yawn punctuated his remark.
"I'm going to hate dawn."
As he had during the entire trip, Karvik shared the royal suite with Stavin. He closed and locked the door behind them, then checked the windows. Per his orders, there was a guardsman outside each of them. Satisfied for the moment, he and Stavin stripped out of their plate armor as well as they could, then helped each other with those buckles that were always hard to reach. Royal suites always had more than one bed, and Stavin had already picked out his, but it wasn't the big royal bed. Karvik walked over and shook his head.
"A servant's bed again, Steve."
Stavin jerked his head toward the big bed.
"I'd feel lost in that thing."
"Do you mind?"
"Sleep there if you want, Kar. It looks like it's big enough that your feet won't stick out."
He finished with a grin, and Karvik laughed in return. Karvik was so tall that his feet normally extended well past the end of average-sized beds. Chapter 2. The night was quiet except for the comforting sounds of the men on watch. Then a new sound filtered into the room. The sound of a crowing cock out in the inn-yard.
"Gods below, it can't be dawn already," Stavin grumbled.
Then one of the guardsmen outside the window pounded on it as he shouted, "Fire!" A hand immediately started pounding on the other window, and the call was repeated.
"Fire, Prince Stephen! Major Kalkaran, fire! The inn's on fire!"
Stephen and Karvik both rolled out of bed and armored up, then grabbed their weapons. Karvik had inherited his father's sword, but Stephen was armed with his own dragon's tongue.
"Behind me, Steve!"
Karvik commanded, and Stavin obeyed. They were both well aware that a fire at a royal inn meant an attack against a royal guest. Varric and six guardsmen met them in the hall.
"The fire is in the front," he reported, "so I'll have our men clearing a path out the back."
"Good thought, Kar," Karvik nodded. "But Stavin is going out the side. Be ready for an attack at the back of the inn."
"Yes, sir,"
Varric replied, then turned away.
"How are we going out the side?"
Stavin asked as he looked up at Karvik. Karvik grinned at his prince and nodded toward the weapon in his hands.
"Feel like doing a little carpentry, Steve?"
His grin got Stavin laughing, and a moment later the inn had acquired a new side door. Stavin led the way and dropped to a crouch in a shadow as soon as his feet touched the ground. Karvik was only a heartbeat behind him. Once they were both ready, Karvik led the way toward the back of the inn. Varric and all 32 of the guardsmen were in a standing battle against a large number of men. Stavin immediately started forward, but Karvik held him back.
"No, Steve. They don't need us."
A blinding flash of light sent five guardsmen flying, and Stavin growled,
"Yes, they do!"
as he started forward at a dead run toward the spot the mage bolt had come from. Another mage bolt met him as soon as he broke cover, but if the attackers thought he would be vulnerable to a surprise attack, they were sorely disappointed.
Stephen hit the mage first, taking his head off with a sweep that ended in the chest of another man. His bottom blade arched up to gut a third man, then Karvik killed the fourth with a sword stroke that nearly beheaded him. Stephen and Karvik turned toward the main fight, but the attackers had fled as soon as the mage fell. Karvik shouted, "Lieutenant Kilhorval, report!" Varric walked over with his sword still in his hand.
"Sir, we were attacked as soon as we came out of the inn. I'd guess there were about 50 of them, but they weren't warriors."
Stephen looked at Varric's sword and asked, "How many, Var?" Varric's mouth twisted into a sour grimace.
"Just two, Steve. I'm never going to earn a star."
Stephen shared an amused grin with Karvik. Because of the Kalkavin traditions, the Evandian Royal Guard had added stars and stripes to their uniforms. Varric only wore one red stripe and four white on his left shoulder to supplement the lieutenant's insignia on his breast.
"That's 10 kills, Var. One more, and you get your second red stripe,"
Karvik pointed out as he slapped Varric's shoulder. Varric shook his head sadly.
"Six expeditions and not even two red stripes," he said with a groan.
Stephen and Karvik both laughed and headed toward where the rest of the royal guardsmen had gathered. Karvik looked at his men and said,
"Report."
Sergeant Zelfordan snapped to attention and said,
"Two wounded, no dead, sir. 19 enemy dead and 5 wounded. Add 4 more to your count of dead enemy, Sergeant."
"Who is wounded?"
"Private Zelfridan took a sword stroke to his forearm that broke through his meal, and Private Kel Chamlin got his head dented by a mace, but it doesn't seem too bad."
"Very well," Karvik replied. "Take our wounded to the side while we question the attackers."
Karvik turned toward where his men were holding swords ready, around 5 recumbent figures. The men were dirty, unkempt, and wearing patched-together armor that didn't cover any of them adequately. Karvik's piercing glare lingered on each of them for a moment before settling on the man in the middle.
"What did you think to accomplish by attacking Prince Stephen?" he asked.
"To a Master Cardick's idea, Lord. He said we could get 10,000 gold crowns ransom for him."
Karvik shook his head. "Haven't you heard that Prince Stephen is immune to magic?"
"We has. Everyone has. But Master Cardick said he's been blessed like Lebowan and could get past his armor."
Karvik turned toward his prince as Stephen growled in anger.
"The priests of Lebowan again."
Stephen looked past Karvik, and his golden eyes seemed to glow with anger as he growled,
"Lady Saren is my patron, and she is more than a match for the upstart Lebowan."
All of the men on the ground looked shocked and more than a little frightened by Stavin's comment. The one in the middle spoke in a nearly inaudible whisper as he said,
"Lord Lebowan is above all the gods."
Stephen struck downward with his dragon's tongue, piercing the man's heart with a lightning-quick thrust.
"No, he isn't,"
was all he said as the man gasped out his dying breath. Stephen looked at the others, but a shout from behind him made him turn and come to the ready again, as the royal guardsmen around him braced for another attack.
"Stand where you are and drop your weapons by order of the city guard."
No one moved.
"You heard me,"
the man shouted again.
"Drop your weapons now."
Karvik looked the man in the eye as he said,
"The Evandian royal guards do not drop their weapons for anyone."
The 4-man team of city guardsmen paused for a moment, then came forward cautiously.
"You're the Evandians. Why did you set fire to the inn?"
the leader asked. Karvik tilted his head to the side and said,
"We didn't."
He pointed toward where the mage and others were laying.
"They did."
The guardsmen walked over and examined the bodies, then stood and backed away.
"You've killed the priests of Lebowan."
"Not for the first time,"
Stephen commented as he stepped forward.
"Lebowan's priests have attacked me before.
They seem to think they can take me and use me to claim Evandia for the Cutter and his followers. So far, the only things they've claimed are graves. None of them can defeat the protections of my armor."
The leader of the guardsmen stepped towards Stephen with his sword drawn and demanded,
"Who are you to dare?" Karvik cut him off. "You are addressing His Royal Highness, Dragon-blessed Senior Warmaster, Prince Stephen Markan Carvan Dukilin, ne Aniston Zelandral of Evandia. You will show him the proper respect, or you'll face me to atone for your insult."
The guards were saved from having to answer by the arrival of the innkeeper and a dozen others.
"Prince Stephen, oh, thank the gods above you're safe. You are safe, aren't you? I've already sent for a healer."
The innkeeper's eyes fell on the city guardsman, and his demeanor changed.
"There you are," he shouted as his arms rose. "You were supposed to be on watch to protect Prince Stephen and see to it that nothing happened. Look at my inn. It's burned half to the ground. Someone cancelled the anti-fire spells."
The guardsman tried to answer, but the innkeeper had already turned back to Stephen.
"Your Highness, please forgive us. There has been some unrest of late, and..."
"It was the priests of Lebowan again,"
Stephen interrupted.
"The Cutter's priests? Why would they burn the inn?"
"Because they want Evandia, and think taking me will get it for them."
The innkeeper looked at Stephen with wide eyes, then glared at the guardsman.
"Lady Mayor Zeltesal will hear of this. She doesn't follow the Cutter any more than I do. Those four will pay for this with their lives, even if they have convinced some of you fools to follow their teachings."
"They already have,"
Karvik said with a slight smile.
"The Evandian royal guards do not take kindly to being attacked."
"But the mage wasn't very powerful,"
Stephen said.
"Probably just a journeyman masquerading as a master."
More people were swarming around the inn, and suddenly the flames vanished. Everyone fell silent in the darkness until a few moments later when torches were lit. People started talking again, discussing the events of the morning, but were silenced again moments later. A woman's voice, shouting commands, heralded the arrival of the mayor.
"Prince Stephen! Prince Stephen, are you here?"
she shouted, and Stephen moved to where he could see her and be seen.
"Prince Stephen, thank the gods above you're safe. I heard a call for a healer and feared the worst."
Stephen bowed his head slightly.
"Yes, Lady Mayor, I'm fine. Several of my guardsmen were injured, however, and need assistance."
The mayor bowed deeply to Stephen, then turned on her guardsmen.
"I want whoever is responsible for this caught and brought before me. You don't go off duty until they are in chains."
All four of the guardsmen bowed. Then the leader said,
"Lady Mayor, it was Lord Corin."
"Lord Corin?"
the mayor shouted.
"Since when is a Delhorse accorded the title of Lord?"
she all but screamed.
"Lady Mayor, he was the High Priest of—"
"He is a deluded fool!"
the mayor snapped, then paused and asked,
"What do you mean, was High Priest?"
The guardsman looked past her towards Stephen.
"The Evandians murdered him."
The mayor looked over her shoulder at Stephen and shook her head.
"No. Anyone attacking Prince Stephen is committing suicide. That's been a well-known truism for several years now. Only someone foolish enough to follow Lebowan's teachings would be fool enough to think otherwise."
"Lady Mayor!"
the guardsman began, but she cut him off.
"Silence!"
the mayor shouted.
"Corin Delhorse was a failure at everything he ever tried to do. Now he's turned to religion, and he's proven himself a failure there as well. Take the bodies to his shanty temple. You and any of his other followers who care to do an honest day's work can bury him."
The mayor dismissed him with a backhanded gesture, normally reserved for the most menial of servants. Stephen had watched the exchange and now stepped forward.
"Lady Mayor, we will be leaving for Aniston as soon as my men can be safely moved."
A panicked expression crossed the mayor's face as she said, "Prince Stephen, please don't let this incident..." Stephen held up his hand to stop her. "Mayor Zeltesel, this incident could have cost some of my men their lives. I intend to return, but you have some house cleaning to do. I will not stay where Lebowan's followers flourish."
With that, he turned away, leaving the mayor sputtering behind him. Stephen joined Karvig, where their men were being tended.
"How bad?"
"They should be fit to travel once the healer is done. He's just a journeyman, but he seems to know what he's doing."
"Damn Lebowan and all of his followers to Ishokanal's hell,"
Stephen cursed.
"We're not staying. As soon as we can, we're going to Aniston. I told the mayor that we'll be back, but I'm not committed to it. If Lebowan's followers are flourishing here, then I want to avoid them."
Karvik bowed his head slightly.
"As you wish, and I completely agree. I don't feel good about how quickly this attack happened. This was arranged well in advance of our arrival."
Stephen glared around them and said,
"Agreed,"
in an intense tone.
"At first light we buy a wagon and go. We'll take the wounded to Aniston this morning."
Karvik nodded and signalled Varric to his side.
"Lieutenant Kelhovel, have our men prepare to leave. One team at a time, Var. I want the other two teams on watch."
Varric snapped to attention and said, "Yes, sir," then turned and started giving the men their orders. The innkeeper had crept closer and said,
"Prince Stephen, please..."
Karvik rounded on the man with his sword half-drawn.
"Stay back, you fool!"
The innkeeper took two involuntary steps back, but stopped and again pleaded,
"Prince Stephen, please don't..." "No!"
Stephen snapped as he turned toward the man.
"We are leaving as soon as we can arrange a way to transport our wounded men. Our return will depend on how well your mayor and council clean out the vermin that have infested this city."
The innkeeper backed away with a pained expression on his face. He kept backing all the way to the mayor's side. They had a brief discussion, then the mayor turned and stomped away while the innkeeper turned back toward his smouldering inn. It was less than a span later that Varric and his men led all of the horses around behind the inn.
"We've cleared out everything from the inn, sir, and are ready to move on your command."
"Well done, Var,"
Stephen said as he stepped forward.
"Give me True."
He held out his hand and Varric handed over True's reins. Stephen gentled her nerves by stroking her nose and speaking softly to her.
"It's all right, True. We're getting away from the smoke right away. There's no fire for you to worry about."
True tossed her head when Stephen checked her tack, but that was all the protest she made. Stephen mounted and all of the guardsmen who could joined him. Each of the wounded was being carried on a stretcher by four of their comrades. They walked in a single file, and their mounted men rode on either side of them with swords drawn, forming a wall of flesh and steel between their friends and the rest of the world. Stephen led them up the main road to a different inn and sent Sergeant Zelfordan and his team inside. The wounded were carefully laid out on the porch.
"We all eat out here. One team at a time eats, then takes the watch. Car, once you've eaten, find us a wainwright. I don't care if you have to wake him up. Here."
Stephen tossed his personal pouch to Karvik.
"You know what we need. Take your whole team with you."
He paused to look at the porch.
"We'll rearrange the teams later."
Karvik nodded as he tucked the pouch away.
"I'd feel better if you were inside, rather than exposed out here, Steve."
Stephen shook his head as he looked around.
"I won't be trapped again, Car. Our men can protect me out here just as well as in there. Varric will see to it that nothing happens to me. Go get us a good wagon."
Karvik took Stephen's purse and the 10 men of his team and headed up the road once they had finished eating. He'd noticed a communal stable with a number of new and old wagons beside it on their ride into the city. It took kicking the door repeatedly to get an answer.
"Gods below, take your miserable souls!"
A man's voice shouted as the bolt shut back with a loud clack. The door whipped open to reveal a man in a nightshirt, with a large hammer in one hand and a candle lamp in the other.
"What in the name of be silent?"
Karvik snapped.
"Who are you to—" "I am Major Karvik Kalkaran of the Avandian Royal Guard. Be silent or be silenced."
All 10 of his men glared at the suddenly speechless man.
"Are you the Wainwright?"
I am, Lord,"
the man stammered, as he looked at the warriors in front of him.
"We are in need of a good cargo wagon and a team to pull it."
The Wainwright was blinking rapidly as he gathered his wits.
"How large a wagon are you in need of, Lord?"
"Something about 10 cubits long and wide enough to hold 2 litters,"
Karvik answered, "but light enough to only need 2 mules." The Wainwright looked at the royal guardsman, then back into Karvik's eyes.
"For a wagon and mules such as you describe, 20 gold crowns."
Karvik's eyes narrowed.
"Don't try my patience. We've already killed 23 men this night."
"You've killed—"
the Wainwright asked, suddenly looking truly frightened.
"The wagon," Karvik snapped. "I'll give you 15 gold and not a spark more."
The Wainwright bowed his acceptance and gestured toward the stable. It was under 2 spans later that he led a brace of mules pulling a 10-by-5 cubit wagon to Karvik's side.
15 gold, you said?"
Karvik counted the gold out into the Wainwright's waiting hand.
"As agreed,"
he said, then climbed aboard to drive the wagon himself. Stavin and the rest of their men were waiting outside the inn.
"Looks good. Load our men carefully."
The guardsmen obeyed immediately, and the litters were slid into the wagon, along with all of the wounded men's gear.
Karvik said, "Tie their horses to the back,"
as Stavin and the rest mounted their horses. Varric and his team took the lead. At the edge of the city, they were met by the mayor.
"Prince Stavin, please don't go,"
she begged.
"Lady Mayor, I haven't decided if I will return or just continue on from Aniston. In either case, I think it would be wise for you to take a close look at the followers of Lebowan. This attack was obviously arranged well in advance of our arrival and could have had a much worse ending. If I had been injured or killed, Renedia would now be at war with Evandia and probably Caravia as well."
The mayor and the people behind her bowed deeply as Stavin passed, but Stavin thought it was probably just to hide their expressions. He twisted the knife in the mayor's guts pretty hard. Chapter 3. Once they were clear of the city, Stavin drifted back to ride beside the wagon.
"Lady Sarina said it was 12 spans by carriage to Aniston."
"Yes, but her carriage probably travels faster than this wagon, even if I wasn't keeping it slow to avoid jolting our wounded."
"True,"
Stavin agreed as he looked around. The east was just beginning to brighten. It took closer to 18 spans to reach the low stone wall that bordered the city of Aniston.
"Gods above, would you look at that?"
Stavin said in a hushed tone.
"I'm looking, but I'm not sure I'm believing,"
Karvik answered. Before them was a large, bowl-shaped valley. A city was centered in it, and it was large enough that it could have easily held 30,000 souls. The valley itself was about 125 dragons across, nearly as large as Kelcavin. The floor of the valley sloped gently toward the center, where a lake reflected the sky. On the shore of the lake stood a series of manor houses and temples. The armed party had been seen, and it wasn't long before more than 100 armed men raced out to confront them with swords bared for action.
"That's far enough," a middle-aged man shouted. "Whatever you thought to find here, you'll find only steel instead."
Stavin felt like laughing. He dismounted and handed his reins to a guardsman, then walked forward as he removed his helmet.
I am dragon-blessed senior warmaster, Prince Stephen Markan Carvan Dokeelin ne Aniston Zalandral, Minister of Trade from Evandia. Lady Serana invited me to come visit my ancestral hometown.
The leader stumbled to a stop and stared at Stephen in disbelief for a moment, then stepped forward, only to stop dead in his tracks when every member of Stephen's royal guard drew their swords. He seemed confused for a moment, then followed Stephen's gaze to the sword he still held in his hand. His hand opened to let the sword fall to the road.
"Prince Stephen," the leader said as he again stepped forward. "I am Lovan Darvar Kel Aniston, captain of the Aniston Guard. Welcome home, cousin."
He bowed deeply as the men behind him sheathed their swords and went to one knee. Stephen smiled as he stepped forward and said,
"I am pleased to meet you, cousin,"
then extended his hand. Lovan looked confused for an instant, then clasped forearms with Stephen. He glanced behind Stephen to the guardsmen and asked,
"Can you get them to sheathe their swords?"
Stephen glanced back.
"Lieutenant Kelhorval?"
he asked without elaboration. Varric took the unspoken order and snapped,
"At ease, men."
All 30 of the mounted guardsmen obeyed, sheathing their swords.
"Thank you, Prince Stephen. Lady Serana told us that you would be visiting, Your Highness, but we didn't expect you so soon."
Stephen nodded and motioned toward the city.
"We had planned on coming out after our business in Zell Castle was completed, but we ran into a little trouble early this morning."
He went on to describe the attack and subsequent events as they walked.
"Our wounded men are in the wagon."
Captain Kel Aniston looked to the side and snapped, "Corporal Ellender, fetch Hela Morval and meet us at the estate."
One of the men bowed slightly, then took off at a dead run.
"Morval is an adept healer mage, Prince Stephen. He should be able to get your men back on their feet in no time."
Stephen bowed his head and said,
"Thank you, cousin."
The walk to the Zell Aniston estate took them through the entire city. At some time in the past, the city had been laid out in a series of concentric circles. 5 main roads led straight through from the edge of the city to the center circle, like spokes of a wagon wheel, and shorter roads connected the outer circles to each other. The identity of the visitors had spread with a speed that only the juiciest gossip could attain, and people could be seen running to line the road.
Varric chuckled, "Here we go again, Steve,"
loud enough for Stephen and Captain Lovan to hear. The captain turned to glare at Varric, but Stephen only grinned.
"Lieutenant Kelhorval is my brother-in-law."
Turning toward Varric, he said,
"Best behavior, Var, or I'll tell your sister."
Varric bowed in the saddle and said,
"Yes, dragon-blessed senior warmaster Prince Stephen Markan Carvan Dokeelin ne Aniston Zalandral."
Stephen shook his head in mock despair.
"Your men aren't going to appreciate being on night guard for the rest of this trip."
The men around Varric glared at him until he said,
"My deepest and most sincere apologies, Prince Stephen."
"Accepted,"
Stephen replied, as he faced forward again.
"Varric is the second in command of my guardsmen. Major Karvik Kalkaran is driving the wagon."
The captain looked over his shoulder again.
"You have your most senior man driving the supply wagon, Prince Stephen."
"His choice. The only things in that wagon are our wounded men and their gear. We purchased it for that purpose this morning, on our way out of Zell Castle."
As soon as they reached the crowd, the people of Aniston welcomed their famous relation. Conversation became impossible as shouts, screams, and cheers echoed off the buildings. Stephen waved to both sides of the road as the Aniston guardsmen formed a protective line of men 2 deep on each side of them. Varric ordered his men forward, but Stephen held up his hand to stop them. He shouted,
"Let them see me,"
with his mouth just a hand span from Varric's ear.
"No one would dare try anything against me here."
Varric frowned, but finally nodded and fell back with his men. The route they took through the city led all the way down to the lake and around the other side. The estate of Serana Zell Aniston was easy to recognize.
It was the one with more than 100 overdressed people in front of it. Lady Serana came forward directly to Stephen.
"Welcome, Prince Stephen,"
she shouted as the cheers continued.
"Where are your wounded men?"
"And the wagon," Stephen shouted back. Lady Sarin turned and pointed at a man in healer's robes, then at the wagon. He and six others hurried forward and climbed into the wagon. One of them spoke to Karvik, and the wagon turned toward the gate as Aniston guardsmen cleared a path. Lady Serana raised both arms above her head, with her hands splayed, and the crowd quieted to some extent.
"People of Aniston," she shouted, "behave yourselves."
There was some laughter at her choice of words, but the crowd settled down.
"As you've noticed, Prince Stephen of Evandia has graced us with his presence. Though he is distantly related to many of us, keep in mind that he is a prince of Evandia's Zal'Andral dynasty. That means mind your manners."
The crowd laughed again as she turned towards Stephen.
"Prince Stephen, how long will you be staying with us?"
she asked in a normal tone of voice, and the crowd quieted so they could hear the answer.
"I had originally planned on 10 days in Zal'Castle and 2 here, but the incident this morning has made me reconsider. If you'll have us, I would prefer to just stay here for the whole time."
There was a spontaneous cheer from those who were close enough to hear his answer, and the news spread through the crowd quickly. Lady Serana bowed slightly and said,
"You and your men are welcome here as long as you wish to stay, Prince Stephen, and I would be pleased to be your hostess. The estate can easily accommodate all of you."
Stephen bowed his acceptance, and Lady Serana led him through the gate. The Zal'Aniston estate, like many that had survived from imperial times, had once been the whole town.
"Aniston was founded in the 20th year of Emperor Yantel Zal'Ordal," Lady Serana said as they walked. "Our ancestor Anis Kel'Halen was a hero of Lux, and was granted this entire valley for his service to the Emperor. The truth of the matter is lost to time, but the legend says he saved the Emperor's daughter from an Asellan. The Emperor elevated him to chosen status, and this became Anis's town, and he was allowed to change his name to Zal'Aniston. Though we have a good sampling of other families, Zal'Anistons, Kel'Anistons, Fel'Anistons, Bel'Anistons, and Del'Anistons make up more than half of the population. If I remember right, that makes Aniston more than 2,200 years old,"
Stephen said as he looked around.
2,273 on the last anniversary,"
Lady Serana confirmed with a smile.
"We predate Zal'Castle by about 1,600 years."
Stephen said,
"Gods above,"
in an awestruck whisper as he looked around.
"Indeed, Prince Stephen. And it is the gods above who we worship here. I'm sure you noticed the layout of the city. 5 sectors and main roads named to honour the gods above."
She paused as Stephen considered her statement. When Stephen looked at her, she continued,
"While Renedia officially recognises the worship of both Lady Sarin and Lord Lebowan, we of Aniston only worship the elder gods above."
She shrugged and smiled slightly.
"With an occasional nod to Lady Sarin. Lebowan's followers are banned. It seems that one of the Cutter's priests tried to condemn the only daughter of one of my ancestors and claim Aniston for Lebowan and his followers. The girl had a wine-stained birthmark on her face. Lord Alvar Zal'Aniston beheaded the priest and all of his followers with his own hand, and tossed their dismembered bodies into the dung heap behind our stables. He made it a law that the same thing should happen to any of Lebowan's followers who try to set up here."
Stephen was nodding with a smirk on his face.
"I like it. Short, sweet, and direct. It's only been enforced once in the 600-and-some years since then. Once word made it back to Rhee that we meant it, they gave up on us. The priests of the Cutter like condemning others, not being condemned themselves."
Stephen nodded.
Lebowan's priests have been a thorn in my foot for several years. They seem to think that they can take Evandia for Lebowan by taking me. Last night was just the latest in a long string of attacks.
Lady Serana looked sideways at him.
After what happened in Karivia, I'm surprised they haven't given up. Exactly what happened last night, Prince Stephen?